You can be thankful sanely. You don't have to be thankful weirdly and religiously. But be thankful. It's easy to get our eyes on the hard things and trials and forget the wonder that God has made provision for us, no matter what, no matter how hard it is. If you know, learn the names of God and learn what each of them means, you will know there's nothing that is not covered by God. Paul's life was not easy. He was subjected to shipwreck and beatings. 2 Corinthians 11:27 says, he was in weariness, painfulness, watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. People that don't understand being thankful are the type that would say, oh God, if this is the way you treat your kids, I don't want any more of this. Paul didn't have every little thing go well for him. He had a snake bite him. He had to just fling it off. A lot of hard things happened to Paul. He was beaten more than once. He was stoned. He was left for dead. His life was not easy, but he knew the source of his deliverance and the source of his thankfulness. So he said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. It is not about things always going right for us. It's about God helping us through the situation and giving us the ultimate victory. And I want to tell you that every person that I know has problems from time to time. Some of them very deep and very dark. Others nothing but aggravations, but they can't get free from them. I don't know any ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who haven't been sorely tried and gone through many sufferings, have people talk about them, and as Duncan Williams said, once it goes on the internet, you can't get it off. It's persecution forevermore. It doesn't hurt your ministry. That's just people out there yammering, but it hurts your feelings sometimes. So the scripture says, in everything give thanks, because you know who your deliverer is. And I want us to give a little consideration this morning then. You know, we have to learn everything because we're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You know, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, but it takes a while for him to get Egypt out of us. We all understand this. We still have Egyptian thoughts. We still have dark and fearful and unbelieving thoughts. We still respond in ways that are not God's ways. And furthermore, they don't help us or anybody else. And so we need to learn about things. And I think one of the most important things, since the Lord says this is how we come into his presence, by thanksgiving, I think we need to learn what thanksgiving is. I think we need to learn how to do it. And I think we need to be delivered from unthankfulness, for that's the work of the enemy. Unthankfulness is the beginning of bitterness. You know, we've got to be thankful. You know, it's not what we say about our blessings, but how we use them. That's the true measure of our thanksgiving. Not what we say about our blessings, but how we use them. I want to give you an example. John says to me on a regular basis, and he says openly, that he loves me, that he appreciates me, and if you've been around him much, you've heard the grocery store story at least 50 times. That's where he saw me. So he touts this as being some great day in his life. And that it was a day of blessing. Now, here's the thing. If he's just yammering and flattering, then he's not going to follow through with that in life. He's just going to yak about it. Sometimes we can learn to say thanks and to speak words that sound like we appreciate blessing. But what do we do with the blessings we have? That's how we show God how we're thankful. What does John do with me? He blesses me. He's good to me. He prays for me. He cares about me. He tries to make life better for me. He tries to defend me. All of those things. And someone asked me, a prophetess asked me where I was last week, tell me about your husband. And I said, because really, I had asked her to pray with me for the Omega over my healing, because I perceived she was really a woman of God. So she was fishing a little bit to see, is there any problem there, of course. And I said, well, just make a long story short, he's the kind of husband that women want. That's simple. She said, we don't need to go there anymore then. She said, she added, and you got one in a million. But here's the thing. If we say these things are blessings, what do we do with them? How do we use them? How do we show that we are blessed with these things? Are you thankful for your gifts and abilities and talents? Gratitude pours out that which it has received. Are you thankful for your children? Are you training them with love and with prayer? My mother used to say, some children are reared and some are just raised up by the hair of the head. Are you thankful for your spouse? And show your appreciation. Now, look, this gets a little close to home, but let me tell you something. We have a culture that's afraid to say something nice about their husbands and wives. It's not macho. Or, you know, we women all know that men are weird and crazy, so let's just talk it up one more time. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you really appreciate your mate, why wouldn't you sincerely give him compliments or her and tell other people how much you appreciate? I mean, I think some people do appreciate, but they never voice that which shows their appreciation. It's almost a little bit embarrassing, it seems, for some people to say, I really love my husband. I really love my wife. I think she's great. If you're thankful for your job, then give your boss the very best. Don't be laughing, Jane. You can't feel grateful for something you feel entitled to. This is a rule. You cannot feel grateful for something you feel entitled to. Well, they ought to do that after all I've done for them. That's ingratitude. Well, I think I deserve. Now, I don't know what we deserve. I found something in the scripture said we deserve to die. And Jesus rescued us from that. When there comes a deep gratitude in our heart, it's a partner with humility. It's a great thing. Now, here's where thankfulness, being thankful, begins. You're thankful, first of all, for who God is. Who God is. Look, I'm so thankful that I discovered the purpose and meaning of life. Remember the Nelsons that were here in the church once? They had a little five-year-old boy. And I'd preached a message called The Meaning of Life. And she had such a problem with Rob. She kept having it over and over again. Same old problem. She disciplined him. Finally, she sat him up on the sofa one day and said, Rob, what's Mama going to do with you? He said, I don't know, Mama. I don't think I know the meaning of life. I don't know. Maybe the Lord needs to sit some of us up on the sofa firmly and say, have you caught on yet to the meaning of life? You know what? I'm thankful that God kept me from squandering my life on useless or destructive things. And that He gave me grace and revelation to love Him and to love His work. Sometimes we get a little hard on each other, saints, and we think, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Well, one reason is because if it's something he should do, he doesn't have the revelation of the grace yet that you have. So either be thankful for your revelation and grace and leave him out of the thing except to pray for him. Why compare yourselves among yourselves, as Scripture says? That's not wise. Boy, you think comparing yourselves with each other. Great day in the morning. We are all so different from each other. And by God's grace, we have people here from different cultures and different nationalities. And it's just so great that God has made each of us. He did make us, and He knew what He was doing. The Scripture says He watched over our parts when they're being formed in the womb. Here's the deal. Some of us don't suit each other as much as we suit God. And He thinks you're super. He's got your picture on His refrigerator. And the latest thing you did, by the way. At my lowest point, I'm thankful that He rescued me. I'm thankful that Jesus leaves the 99 and goes after the one that's struggling. When I was going through a situation that was psychologically mind-bending and oppressive, and I was lying on my sofa and I felt so unworthy and useless and helpless, and the Spirit of the Lord said to me very clearly, I'm going to lift you out of this mess. I'm so glad that He came through for me when I couldn't come through for myself. He knows that we're helpless. He knows that we're without strength. And He's there to rescue us. How can I thank Him enough for healing me and giving me strength to fulfill my destiny? I thank Him for being Jehovah Rapha. I thank Him that He healed Jay. And Jay says his back doesn't even hurt anymore. This is really wonderful. This is really wonderful that Jehovah Rapha, think about it. Our God is a healer. I was with our Indian friends last night, and I was thinking about the gods in India and how the people there are afraid of them. And they take them food as if they could eat. And all kinds of things as offerings. And all they have is fear. And they're always trying to appease the gods. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't have to appease our God. He just wants you to love Him. Yes. You can never do enough to be good enough. Don't even try it. There's nothing more debilitating and humiliating than to try and try and feel like you can never do enough. That sets you on a hopeless place where you just as soon leave planet Earth. Our hope is in God. And He's the one that has the strength. We're all just people. None of us are great. Some of us just haven't run into as many difficulties as others, haven't had as many challenges as others. We're all just hunks of mud. And except for Jesus, we'd be absolutely nothing on our way to hell. Thankfulness doesn't come by comparing what we have with what others have. Well, I'm glad I got more than they've got. I mean, really, it's all so dumb. And people make comments like, They wish that they were thin like I am. Well, I wish I could just pull 5 pounds off them and stick it on me. My point in this is this. Because they've been overweight, then they think to be thin the way I am is the way to be. It really isn't. And I'm working hard at gaining weight. So what you see is not always what you get. So you look at other people and you think that you want what they have. Really, you don't know. I think that there's just a thing in us. And the enemy likes to say to us, you're not as good as they are. You're not as smart as they are. You're not as pretty as they are. How many of you know you're not as pretty as some people? I do. But how many of you are glad you're not as ugly as some people? I am. Was I not supposed to say that last line? Thankfulness doesn't come by comparing what we have with what others have. We may resort to jealousy because it seems they have more of it and more of what we wanted. Envy, jealousy. We gaze on other people so long, wish we had that. That's not being thankful. That's being jealous or envious. Now, we'll give you a statement. This is important. This is by James Smith. It is delightfully easy to thank God for the grace we have received. But it requires great grace to thank God always for the grace given to others. Say it again. It is delightfully easy to thank God for the grace we have received. But it requires a great grace to thank God always for the grace given to others. If we think about when we see other people succeed, when we see other people prosper, when we see them move into some realm of the gifts, do you ever have a thought like, I wonder what's wrong with me that I didn't get any gifts? Why can't we just say, I'm so glad that Ann has a gift of prayer. Oh, catch on. She's helping hold up what we're doing here with that gift of prayer. Don't ever be jealous of it. And you don't need her gift of prayer. You need whatever God wants you to have. Some of you would be bored with her gift of prayer. It takes too much time. And you're too antsy. The Lord knows what gift each of us can use and handle, doesn't he? But when we see other people prosper, to have the grace to always thank God for that. You know, in the past couple of years, I guess, John's been in personal revival. The Lord has really just broken through on him and revealed things to him and so forth, so on. I hope you haven't had the thought, oh, God didn't break through on me. Well, your time's coming if you'll thank God for what he's done for John. And he has times. There are times that he's doing things and times that we are more open to God than other times. We can't be jealous of other people's blessing. I know this may not sound deep to you, but one day I caught on to this and I learned, go ahead and bless people. God's going to anyway. I can't withhold blessings by wishing I had them and they didn't. Hey, he's going to bless whoever he wants to bless. So just get happy about it and rejoice about what God's doing for everybody. I don't see why they have a big new house. Well, one reason, they probably worked for it and went to school maybe when you were just out doing something else. I mean, there could be a lot of things behind it, but can't you give them room that God prospered them because of various things along the way, and you just say amen to the blessing of God? I really feel a lot about that. I really feel deeply about that because I love to see people blessed. I'd like to be blessed in some of the ways I've seen people blessed. I understand that. But while I'm waiting for that, I'm going to thank God that they got blessed. Okay, so let's have this to be our final thoughts. A little something to work on here. Are we thankful for the family of God? 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, verse 2. We give thanks to God. We give thanks to God always for you all. That's how we know he was a Southerner. Making mention of you in our prayers. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, if you had been involved in the Wednesday evening classes that Jane has been teaching, she presented the most clear and understandable lessons on what it is people misunderstand about election, and they think, they get the warped idea that God preordained or ordained some people for heaven and some for hell. If so, he's confused, because he said whosoever will may come. But what is ordained and preordained, predestined for us, is that once we come to him, he has a predestination of our path so that we will be formed into his likeness. That's where the predestination comes. And I'm so glad for the power of his predetermining in my life. Sue, as the good old German general says, you will stay on the path. And he leads me in the path of righteousness. But sometimes, if I was holding back and resisting, he dragged me in the path of righteousness. And he would not let me go until he blessed me. I promise you, God is on your side. He's not out to get you. Now, are we thankful for this aspect? I know a lot of people are not thankful for the church, period. I'm talking in general. How do I know that? Because they're home reading the paper, going out to eat, or whatever their bag is today, and they're not even considering going to church. They don't even appreciate the gift of God to give us a family. And we have such a need to belong. What a dysfunctional nation we have. Families everywhere, all kinds of problems, but I want you to know Jesus is here to heal those families and to put every family in order. And if you don't have any family at all, to give you a family. That's why church is so wonderful, because it's the family of God. We know each other, we love each other, we care for each other. The folks that the Lord sent among us recently that we cared for a couple of months that were burned out with fire. And then tragically, the father in that family was killed in an accident at his company. And I officiated in the funeral here on Friday. Even though we didn't know these people, and the fact of the matter is, many of you had ministered to them, but I had never met them. I hadn't even met the woman until the funeral. And so I went over and I was talking to the whole family. And we embraced them because we're a family here. We had the strength that we could be to them what they needed in that time. And we were glad to do that, to help them with food and clothing and the various things they needed. And then when the funeral was here, at the end of my message, I gave an invitation, and I asked people if they wanted to raise their hand, if they'd like me to pray for them, so that they could have this, what I called my message was, I make all things new. And the Lord wanted to make everything new in every one of their lives, even though there was a tragedy, there was another day ahead for them. And I've never preached that in a funeral. The Holy Spirit gave me that the night before. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. See, I have learned I don't have to fret about it. Now, sometimes it's not easy, but I do know that the other end of it is he will always be faithful and give me what it is that I'm to bring. And so I ministered that word, and there was the man who died, his sister was sitting there on the front row. And when I looked out at the people and invited them to raise their hands, his sister was sitting there, and she looked at me so fervently, and she mouthed, "Will you pray for me?" You know, that was a joy in my heart. That was a joy. I was thankful for the joy in that tragic situation that I felt. And I prayed for her to give her heart to the Lord. And afterwards, I was able to say a few words to her about going on with Jesus. I'm so thankful for the family of God, because together we can care for those that the Lord sends among us and help to rebuild broken, dysfunctional lives. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Now here's why to be thankful for your brothers and sisters. Your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in Jesus. Because you are the elect of God. See, I give thanks for you. I give thanks for the body of Christ everywhere. Because I can meet a believer on an airplane if they really are believers. And it's just like we've known each other all our lives. We can just talk about these things. And in the airport in Minneapolis, there was a man and a woman who helped us with our luggage and things, Joan and me, in Minneapolis. And while we were waiting for them to get some things straightened out about credit cards and so forth, the woman starts talking to me. And she says, she wanted to know what I was there for. People always ask me that. Well, I don't push the gospel on people. But I believe that I'm there to speak it to those that want to hear. Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear." So I just told her I'm here to speak in a conference. What kind of conference is it? I said, "Well, I spoke on prayer." She said to me, "How long did you stand and talk?" What a funny question. Well, I didn't answer the question, and she asked it again. I said, "I stood and talked for an hour. And then I brought the people forward and prayed for them to be healed and prayed for them for about 20 minutes. She said, "Well, I think that's absolutely wonderful. And I'd just like to know what you said." And I said, "Well, fine. Give me your address. I'll send you a DVD. And you can know what it's." Now, at that point, I didn't know if she was saved, lost, or somewhere in between. And I didn't care because she was a person. And I wanted to bring her into the body of Christ so she could have the blessings that we all have. Do you know that before we got to our place and they were helping us with our bags and things, she knelt down beside me and tears came to her eyes. Now this is how quickly relationships can develop. When you are thankful for people, thankful for opportunities to minister. I mean, some of us are too busy to be thankful. After all, we got a job to do. I have learned that people is what Jesus is about. She knelt down by my chair and talked to me about the grief she had over her mother she had lost in October. So I told her by then we had talked enough that I could openly tell her about how I had so much grief when my mother died. I called on God and I said, "I don't think I can live if you don't help me with this." And that night, I either had a dream or the Lord took me to heaven. And I had a visitation. And I heard my mother's voice. And she declared to me, "Honey, I don't have to take any medicine. And I feel so good. I am so happy." My own mother's precious voice I heard. And I said to her when I woke up the next morning, my room, my bedroom smelled like a million flowers. And it was that way all day long. I said, "Isn't Jesus absolutely wonderful?" See, I'm so thankful for those things. I'm so thankful. When we're thankful for things, they just ooze out and roll out. When we talk to people, we want to tell them what God has done for us. So now, she may even be listening to this message. She says she wants to listen to the podcast. We can share this wonderful family love. with others that they can be a part of the family. So let me close with this, because I want us to see about being thankful for the family of God. Do we appreciate our fellow laborers? Do we appreciate our leaders? The scripture says in Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Fuchsia Pickett was always saying, in honor, preferring you, going through a door or anything like that. Amazing, amazing. You know, here's the lady that needs to get the honor, passing the honor on to someone else. But the scripture says we need to try to out-honor each other. In honor, preferring one another. Romans 13:7 says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute's due, custom to whom custom, for to whom fear to whom fear is due, and honor to whom honor is due. For example, the scripture says, honor your father and your mother. There are people that are to be honored. And Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Wow, think of that. Laugh, it's okay. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be to your benefit. You know, this whole thing of honor, I believe one of the best ways for us to show gratitude, to show that we're thankful, is by honoring people. Just by honoring. There was a lady at this conference I was in last week. It was from San Diego. And she saw that, being involved in a situation there, that I had to stand a while and wait. We had to do this 3 or 4 times. I saw her whispering in someone's ear there. After that, I never had to wait again. They would always put me up front, make sure that things were easy for me. I thanked her for that. She said, well, I've been taught to honor those who minister to us. I think that we live in an irreverent society. Come on. We like to make fun of the thought that actually somebody is worthy of honor. Well, I want to tell you, I honor Mike for spending all the time that he has spent helping us to worship God. And Jane, and those that work with them. I honor the different ones of you that have diligently prayed for the things that need to be. I honor Jack for being willing to give of his life into something that's going to be a work of eternal value. What do I mean when I say I honor? It means I esteem. It means I appreciate. And it means I'm going to treat them respectfully. I heard about a church in this area, someone told me, that the pastor kept getting such terrible, hateful notes, and the people were so resisting him that he just one day said, I'm resigning, this is my last Sunday. Well, that's dishonor. You know, even if they didn't like him, there's a way to deal with that. Well, you can always leave, of course. But I'm just simply saying, you don't have to mistreat people because you don't like them. You could honor this man because he was the pastor. And when I go to minister in a pastor's church, I submit myself to that pastor. And I don't go in there telling him, you ought to do this and you ought to do that and what have you. I esteem him and I honor him. This is one thing, something that they do in black churches where I have been to minister through the years. And they, every time a speaker would get up to speak, they would give honor to the apostle there, to the leader of the house, and then there would be applause from the people, you know, like Victor does when he comes here. It's just a way of saying, I honor you, I appreciate you, I'm thankful for you. And I believe that when people do that, I believe when people honor those that they should honor, I believe they put themselves in a place to receive from God, and they protect themselves from the enemy. And the Lord makes it a lot easier for them to learn, because the scripture says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they're accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Now, I just want to close with this thought. I appreciate your praying for me when I go out to minister the different places. And this year I have had some things to catch up before the year's out. And I shared with you I have one more before this year ends, and that's next Sunday. I'll be going to a place where I've never been, but the pastor is interested in being in the Antioch Fellowship. And he made the statement, I like your vision. I want to go where your folks are going. And I want you to come and help lead us into this. And he wrote me an email. He must have asked me 12 to 15 things. How do you want this? How do you want that? Do you want a book table? Do you want a face mic or one to hold in your hand? Do you want to eat dinner on Saturday night, or would you rather be left alone? You want to have lunch with us afterwards? And I don't know, why did he do that? Because he wasn't just going to shove me around up there and say, do this and do that and do the other, because of honor. You know, Judson Cornwall one time was invited to this place to speak. And some places now, they just sort of leave you out to find your way and do the best you can. And you come and show up and preach when you're supposed to. Hallelujah, amen, thanks, see you later. But in other places, it's so wonderful how they show honor. Now, I'm talking to us about honoring each other. And I'm also talking to us about, the scripture says, give honor to whom honor is due. The leaders in the church deserve honor for being leaders. You deserve honor from one another and from me, from your faithfulness and for your diligence and for your love for God. I want to honor you as a person in God and to see you in the spirit, not just to see you in the flesh. You know, a lot of times we look at each other in the flesh. I don't like the way she does this. I don't like the way he does that. Ask the Lord to give you discernment to see a little further. And anyway, even if you don't like it, you're probably not going to change it. So why not just love the person and let Jesus deal with it? So you thought I forgot about Judson, but I didn't. And so Judson got to the airport, got a taxi to the church because he was running late. Now imagine this, nobody met him at the airport, got a taxi because he was running late, went to the church, sat down, the worship was already going. When they introduced the guest speaker, he found out he was in the wrong church. Somebody was kind enough to drive him over to the church where he was supposed to be. Now, take that picture. Now, let me give you this other picture. This is the way what they did where I was last week. I mean, they were set up like they knew what was going on. And from the moment that my plane landed, but by the way, I'd had all these emails and things in advance. But from the moment my plane landed, there was someone there to take me where I needed to go. And immediately someone is introduced to me, and this person says, I'm assigned to be your armor bearer for you while you are here. I will come and get you every time it's mealtime. every time it's meeting time. And if there's anything at all you need at any hour of the night or day, I'm the person who will get that for you. Hallelujah, amen. I didn't have to worry about anything. It was really so wonderful. I mean, when you're just, listen, I know some of you are so young, you don't know what it feels like to be tired, but if you've traveled and you're worn out anyway and you preach and the service has gone long and you're starved half to death but you're too tired to bother to get anything to eat, just go to bed and hope that your stomach won't keep you awake growling and be done with it. But what happened instead, so I go on, she takes me to my room, and then she says, shall I go and get you something to eat? We have chicken salad and we have soup. And I thought, here I've gone to heaven right from Sheboygan. I had no idea I'd go here. You know what that feels like when you really need something and someone honors you by paying attention and caring about that need? We honor people. We honor Nikki when she's sick by sending her text, by going to visit her. See, we honor people by showing them love and by showing them that we care about them as a human being. A thankful heart is shown through appreciation, honor, giving thanks to God as worship. Thanksgiving is worship. Thanksgiving is prayer. The scripture says, bring an offering of thanks and come before him. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Well, I'm going to promise you this. You may not fully grasp this right now, but being thankful is the doorway to being humble. And if you are thankful for what you have and not always wishing you had something else other than that, then you make a way where you can advance and get something else. Little children, you know, don't understand that if they act bratty, they're not going to get anything. As John Wesley's wife used to say, I would let the children know if they ask handsomely, they could have anything they asked for. But if they cried and threw a fit, they would never get it. Is our Father a little bit like that? Let's ask handsomely of the Father for the things that let's not gripe and complain that we don't have things or that somebody else has something. Why doesn't God see what it is that we need? I really do believe if his eye is on the sparrow, he's watching this bird too. And I really do believe that he knows what we need and that he wants to give that to us. This is all. I just wanted to do a little teaching on being thankful, and I want you to stand together.